And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to a blowout edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Although, you know,
I got unblowouty at the very end. Well, not even at the very end, about halfway through the fourth quarter.
29 to start the fourth. It was like a 9-0 run like that that got us to 20. All second unit. Warriors lost, by the way, I should mention. But the fourth quarter was interesting. I didn't think the fourth quarter was necessarily the story of the night.
Except for Marcus. Well,
what did you write?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm performing like the Warriors did the first three quarters, so. We'll see.
He knew he wrote a good one in game three, and he's like, oh, you know what? I can come back and finish this off in game five. That's what Marcus did. He kind of relaxed, thought he had it under control.
Game five. Holler at me for game five. I'll be ready.
So, Warriors gave up 23s, and, you know, this series obviously has, in a lot of ways, been just like, how is Dallas shooting? Now, because they made 20 in this one, they won it. It's going back to game five. They also made 21 in game two, and there's the one they should have stolen in San Francisco. They didn't for several reasons in that game. But the Warriors had some breakdowns. The first three of the game is like a transition situation where Wiggins and Clay pick up the same guy, swing to the corner, Finney Smith wide open three. But within it, you know, especially times in this series when they put guys on the floor that Jordan Poole's on the floor, Kuminga's on the floor, they like to switch to this 3-2 zone, right? It just disallows, you know, one-on-one play against some of their weaker defenders. But Dallas had a very interesting tweak against that zone today. That's what I wrote about. They overloaded
zone busters. Yeah, zone busters. They put a guy in front of Steph or Poole and then ran someone behind him to make it tough. Like, they had to make a decision.
So they overloaded one side of the floor. They would go, like, let's say it was to the right. They would go guy in the right corner, guy on the right wing, screener for Doncic up top that angled Doncic right, and that kept getting – the low man on that side of the floor had to decide, do I want to go to the wing, do I want to go to the corner? They kept leaving the wing guy open. That got them, you know, a few threes in the first half. And to me, that's where they mentioned the breakdowns when we talked about it post-game. And we can get to the adjustment, but what did you guys think of just the first three quarters in general?
I do think this has been waiting to burn them all series.
All postseason.
They don't stay home on corner shooters. They overreact to drives. There was a play. Draymond gets a foul. Looney's there. He's guarding. He's on the man. Draymond doesn't need to reach in. He reaches and he fouls him. But they do that a lot. It's a swing, and it's an open three. They just give up too many open threes. And they've been a bit lucky that the Mavericks haven't made as many. Tonight was they made them tonight throughout the game. They made them for two quarters in game two. That's pretty much it. But they've been kind of living on the edge with that, giving them open threes. And tonight it burned them. But I also think a big deal is the Warriors, they didn't make threes either. Some of that could have been kind of alleviated or even at least add some pressure to Dallas if it's a close game.
What happened in the fourth quarter? Warriors made threes and Dallas did not make threes. Yeah. That's how that happened. But, you know, again, it's when they're down 29, so it may not have that much significance. But, like, it's clearly the game totally changes when the Warriors start making threes. Like, they feel confident. They're moving around. It's their young players. But I think there's some residual of that, you know. They thought, like, it's like in baseball when you make the other team bring in their closer. Like, they made Dallas bring Luka back. Of course, then Kerr put Curry, Clay, and Wiggins back in there. So
he shouldn't have.
Let him rest. He didn't put Draymond back in, though, by the way.
I think once Draymond turns the engines off, you don't turn the Draymond engines back on, which I get. Yeah, you know what else in the fourth quarter? And again, this will, I will wrap up the strategic part of this segment. But at halftime, they discussed what Dallas had done against the 3-2. I talked to Steve a little bit, you know, after his press conference, and the answer to that was the low man on the opposite side is supposed to sprint over to the overloaded side and take the corner man so that the low man on the overloaded side can go up to the wing.
Clear call. Yeah.
And so they first go to the zone early in the third, because remember, they dropped down 22 right away after that weird rain delay on a weird night in general in Dallas. They go down 22, and they immediately put Poole in for Looney. It was like, let's just go down with the offense type move with like 9 minutes left in the third quarter. And they go to the zone because they like to do that when Poole's out there. And same play happens. Draymond wants to go up to the wing. Clay's the low man on the opposite side, and Clay forgets. And then Draymond yells at Clay, come on, you got to get over. And then if you go look at the fourth quarter when they're coming back, the second unit was doing it perfectly. It was Bielitsa and Kuminga were the two low men.
Perfect. There it is. Go with those guys.
And, you know, again, I put all this in the article, and the two clips turn into two Dallas turnovers. They do it perfectly where the first time Bielitsa's on the opposite side, Kuminga sprints up to the wing, and Bielitsa flies over. And then the other time, it's the opposite way, and Kuminga's flying to the corner. And, again, like I said, two turnovers. So, at least to me, not only did they maybe get some confidence booster in that fourth quarter, but they had their second unit, including a rookie, running, you know, to me, like running their defensive scheme very well. And to me, that's just what the starters didn't do tonight. They just didn't run what they do well.
Yeah, I also think they just, man, they need Klay Thompson. They need Klay Thompson. Before game six, by the way, they need Klay Thompson.
Before the second half in the series, too. He's been bad in, like, every first half.
Yeah, they need him. I do feel like, especially in a game like this, when they start, those shots early kind of determine what kind of night they're going to have. And Klay missed them. And even Steph wasn't taking threes. He took one three. He made it. But he was trying to drive. You could see it's like, all right, let's get off to a good start. You know, they weren't making shots. A big part of it, they got to make shots. I do think that's one of the ways you counter Dallas, is you make shots. We've seen Reggie Bullock and Maxi Kleber when they have to hit the shot. Now it's going up, like, you up 15, the Warriors not making anything. Those are...
And also, like, down 3-0, they felt, yeah. I felt like...
Oh, yeah, that was definitely part of it, right? They got nothing to lose. I was surprised, though. I'm not going to front. I thought they would not want to fly back to San Francisco.
If they started making threes, you know, they start, you know what, let's just keep, you know, we feel free, we're loose, it's a win if they push the Warriors to game five, so you can be a little freer, and they could be freer in game five too, because what, they're coming home anyway, they can try to get it to game six, and that's up to the Warriors to say, nope, that's it, no more. But I thought Finney Smith, I mean, he obviously shot terrific, but he's been really good this series, and tonight he made shots, and he was driving. Like, he was doing all kinds of things. I'm sure he was the highest plus-minus on the team.
Yeah, this was his best game. He was plus 18, which was highest, like you said. 9 of 13, 4 of 7 from 3. And obviously he's a good defender as well.
The Warriors let him get comfortable. Let him hit that first one. It's like they say with Klay. He sees one go in, and then he thinks they're all going to go in. And he's the one Maverick, I think, who's just like, he gives them stuff on both sides. So they need to play him a ton. And if he's making shots, he's just so valuable to them. And he's not a playmaker, but he can help them in so many different ways. He's kind of like a Warrior guy, like one of those Warrior wings who helps you in a lot of different ways. And they let him get loose and let him get confident.
What do you have for something? Reggie Bullock hit 6 threes?
Did he? Yeah.
And then he tweeted out cricket emojis post game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, like, nobody talking anymore about me.
That's what happens when you don't go 0 for 10.
Not to bring it back to the zone, but now we're talking post game comments. Did you see Kidd post game?
Kidd is saying they can't guard me 1-on-1?
Kidd was saying they can't guard us, essentially. I mean, they probably couldn't guard prime Jason Kidd 1-on-1 either. But basically, and if you read the transcript, like, the questions were not like, hey, you know, how did the zone be handled tonight? It was like, hey, what do you think of Dwight Powell tonight? He's like, well, if Dwight struggles against the zone, let's talk about the zone. And then it was some other question, and he was like, it was kind of like, you know, is this good to get a win in this series type thing? He's like, well, one thing we got today is compliments from the Warriors, because they keep playing zone, which means they can't guard us 1-on-1.
It's like when you're playing somebody who you can't guard off the dribble, and you'd be like, man, I bet you can't shoot that. I bet you can't make that. Like, he's trying to get the Warriors out of the zone. I can guard you one-on-one. Let's go, right?
I was kind of thinking, like, is he trying to, like, get them out of the zone?
But the larger point is, you know, we've known this from the middle of the season. With Steph and Poole on the court, they have a hard time matching man-to-man, and it's especially Poole, who was really bad on defense tonight, you know, fouling like crazy, reaching, not moving his feet. So they go to the zone because they have to protect these guys. And at some point, that's going to hurt them. I mean, it hasn't hurt them so far, but we kept saying, like, this is not a great defensive fivesome, yet they've been managing to play some really good defense. Tonight, it suffered. And you know, they're going to – you know, that's not their – they don't love playing zone all the time. They're doing it because they have to. Because, you know, they have some guys who aren't staying in front of them. Clay doesn't exactly stay in front of people very much now in man-to-man either. So, it's they've gotten through this, right? They're still a win away from the finals and probably will be favored in the finals. But there are issues with that personnel group. Like, you know, when they're going all offense, there's a reason why they're going all offense, because it isn't great on defense. And they better make buckets, because on defense they can be exposed a little bit. Again, haven't been very much this postseason. I've been kind of surprised, but they can be. And I think tonight we saw a really, really big, you know, on the road, this is where they're going to get hit. And, you know, you can imagine Boston on the road throwing some kind of defense like this. It's going to be a tough. It's very, very tough.
It's
an odd comment, by the way, because really what he's saying is you can't guard Luka.
Yeah.
Right. But Luka's running from Wiggins and Looney. So it's like, yeah, I mean, no, Jordan Poole can't guard anybody, right? So,
and they're certainly not guarding Steph one-on-one.
Oh, no, they're not doing that. But, you know, it's a tactic by Kidd, right? I imagine he's hoping the Warriors say, we can guard you one-on-one, but that's
– lock up, JP.
Yeah, exactly.
Go get Luka. Yeah, you go take get him
Luka,
out.
Yeah. But
prove to Jason Kidd who you really are.
I don't know why if he actually thinks that'll work, but you know the Warriors are gonna play what they need to play. That's what they're about. They're gonna win. But to me, I think they got to figure out a way to get Klay going, and Jordan Poole too. He was bad on offense too. He was not good on offense. He was
pretty good in the fourth
quarter, but he was good more as like a point guard leading the team. When he's out there any other time, he's trying to drive and
falling down,
and is like herky jerky, slipping, falling, not really attacking.
Looking at the ref, he was having long conversations with the ref tonight.
I mean, it's two games where he's got a couple tough fouls, and for a guy like that who already, you give him three when he walks on the court, he's gonna get three fouls trying to guard somebody he can't guard. So then you get the little ones here, but he's not going to the basket. He's dribbling around and trying to cross the turn where he just goes to the basket.
Kleber was a defensive force tonight, which is like we've been kind of making fun of him, but like he blocked a couple shots and they were not, then they were turning down shots going up against him. Like, give him credit. Something happened there where they weren't successful going up against Kleber when they've been successful going up against him. Without even like anything happening in the previous three games, and tonight stuff happened, and he's not Dikembe, but like they were kind of wary of him in the second half.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This was like the game for the Dallas others. You've already mentioned Finney Smith, his best game, Kleba's best game. You know, Bullock, six threes. I mean, he had a really good first half in game two, but you could say his best game. I mean, this Brunson only had 15.
Frank Ntilikina hit a three.
And then another jumper. They're like, you see, they're like, begging to please
mid-range.
You. Please you. Boop, right in the bucket. So there you go.
That was like a big one. Wasn't that a fourth quarter one? Yeah, when they like really, they're like, hey, you might need to hit this, Frank. Okay, so Otto Porter misses the game with left foot issue. I actually saw him walking around, you know, during the game a little bit post game. Fine, he wasn't walking with a limp anymore. The fact that they listed him, they said doubtful, listed him as questionable, then ruled him out. But Steve said maybe this gives him 2 days to get back for five. So I think they think he might be back in five.
I sure think they wish they could end this just for that. Like, give him a week. And I think they'll think about sitting him for five. But, you know, they win it, then they definitely have the break. I saw him walking around before the game. He seemed fine. But the problem is he could always aggravate it and then maybe lose him for the finals. Like, you just don't want to test that. I think they would love to win this without him. They would have loved to do it tonight. Didn't happen. They played Kuminga. Wasn't terrible.
That's kind of what I wanted to get into. Like, if Porter is back, to me, the rotation makes sense. They'll probably stay with Moody. He's kind of fit in that little mini second unit role. What if there is no Porter? Would you stay with Kuminga? Because then it got a little weird tonight when it was like, okay, now you have two teenagers on the floor in a big game.
With Jordan Poole. Like, you know, this is a young unit that they're throwing out.
And to me, that's when they lost the game, right? That started the second quarter. They went two teenagers. And for like three possessions, it was like, wow, this is Joe Lacob's like pristine moment. He might sweep the West Finals.
7-1.
Yeah, Kuminga had an assist to Moody, then hit a floater, and then it just – train wreck, defensive breakdowns everywhere. They lost the game then, I thought. So I'm not sure you can go back to that if there's no Porter.
I don't think you can. I'm curious how many of those minutes goes to Bielitsa. Because
he was pretty good in the fourth.
He was pretty good. You know who, oddly enough, he can get by him. Everybody's getting by Luka, but you get to the paint on Luka, and then he's big. He's got some size. He's got pretty good hands. But it feels like Bielitsa just dupes him every time. It's like, like every time. He's like, he doesn't know what he's going to do.
Bielitsa has played two people pretty well in the playoffs, Jokic and Doncic. I feel like they look at him like, the EuroLeague MVP is coming at me.
Euro stopper.
He's like, son, I was a EuroLeague MVP years before you.
Look at Marcus calling for Bielitsa, of all people.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you were going to say JTA. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I think JTA should – I don't know if he should be second unit minutes. I think he should get – I think you got to play JTA with Steph or with, you know, some guys who can score. But I don't like Moody and Kuminga together. You're asking for – But
I would say this about Moody and Kuminga together. Summer League's only like a month away, month and a half away. They can dominate those big games.
But Moses is actually doing pretty well in the schemes, right? He got a bunch of deflections. He's reading it. He's the first guy, I think. I might be missing one or two. But he's the first guy who read the baseline drive, baseline drift. Like, there's no other outlet for the guy.
He tipped out of
bounds. He read it and jumped to the corner. I don't know why they don't know where that pass is going. But he was on it. We haven't seen Clay on it. We haven't seen Steph on that. We haven't seen anybody on that. Moses was on it. He seems to be reading the pass as well. He knows what he's doing.
He's so long, too. Yeah. He's so long.
The turnovers I mentioned when that unit in the fourth actually played the 3-2 zone switch adjustment well was Moody. Moody is the one where he jumped in the air and like intercepted that pass after they made him kind of swing it, and then he caused another turnover. I think he's like has those Damian Lee minutes. Damian Lee resurfaced tonight and was decent. Do you think he is seen in game five?
I mean, if you want to avoid Moody and Kuminga together and you need forward minutes, so you're playing Kuminga, maybe he gets some of those Moody minutes and Moody moves up. You know, maybe Moody moves up more minutes with Steph. I could see it. Steve clearly likes him, is going to play him if he can. But I would not say, okay, Moody, no more minutes. I would hope, you know, we'd say Moody gets minutes and then we find some other minutes for Lee because Porter's out and we have to find other minutes. But
You know me. I kind of want to see. I still want to see Kuminga out there. I know the mistakes he makes, but man, the guy does stuff. He does. He did stuff tonight. He's like hits a three, runs a floor, attacks the rim. He didn't attack the rim successfully.
17 points.
Yeah, didn't attack the rim so successfully. Again, somebody who seemed was like turning down shots against Kleber. It was interesting, but
he tried to dunk on him that one time because it didn't work, but. You could tell he was, like, frustrated with Kleber.
Wait a minute. I was like, is that Bertans? No, it's not. It's Kleber. Like, yeah, who knows? It was a weird game. But, yes, I think Kerr might go a little deeper, you know, just kind of mix and match. By playing the young guys, but don't play them in full roles. Play them, like, with half roles with, like, you know, a couple of veterans maybe getting some of those minutes. Go 5 minutes apiece and then see who's hot in the second half and then go with that guy.
The biggest answer to me is Porter plays and then they go like 40 to 42 minutes with the main guy, especially like Wiggins. Wiggins, like a 43-minute night. Go, well, you know, because like you close out five, you get like a week before game one of the finals. Yep. You don't danger time.
Yep. And, you know, I think Kerr kind of hinted it when he said that he was really going for game three. That was the one they wanted. And when you say that, that means you kind of aren't as focused on game four. You want one of these two. You got one of them. You know you're in control. And then game four isn't going to be, you know, you still want to win it. You still absolutely want to clinch as fast as possible, but you're not going to push all your chips in the middle. And, you know, in some ways there's a mental back off. That was, that, you know, the mentality of the day. Also,
I thought they was losing. So they can get the extra playoff game for the money.
Joe Lacob ordered a hit. Now,
let me tell you something about Joe Lacob's all game. He's sitting right across from me. He was not sitting there cheering Mavericks makes. He was sitting there stomping his feet. Oh, every, you know, pool turnover or foul, like, oof, oof, oof. You know, he was in full Joe Lacob. Like,
he was sitting next to Myers, too. So Myers had to sit there through all that. They want to win these games. People get so mad when I tweet that out. It's like, it's just a reality. Like, they want to win every game, but when they don't and they get another home game, it's $10 million. Like, that's just the reality of it. It's nobody's trying to lose games, but it also gets them $10 million gross and probably $3 million profit and, you know, and then ads and ads and ads and ads, and they're looking at $100 million postseason. That's pretty good.
What was up with Wiggins tonight, you think?
I thought he was okay. I was okay.
Defensively or offensively?
Offensively, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, 5 of 11, 13 points. Okay. I'm with you. I'd worry more about Klay Thompson's series than Wiggins. Wiggins, you know, 13 for Wiggins is kind of what he's been sitting at for, like, the last few months. Like, he's supposed to be the fourth best offensive player on this team. It's supposed to be Steph, number one, Poole and Klay kind of sharing two, three.
But he's got the matchup, I think. I don't know if he's supposed to have the matchup out of it, so. Klay to me, they just need Klay. They got to have Klay.
He takes the first shot almost every game, and he misses the first shot almost every game. It is weird how that works. But and he was he 1 for 4 in the first half tonight? Something like 1 for 5? I mean, it's reminded me of the zero-point game. The zero-point half he had. It just is an interesting – we're seeing Klay kind of get roll slowly. Then he hit a couple shots again in the second half like he always does. But, yeah, they need him to start fast, and then I don't think they lose if he starts fast. I just don't think they lose in games when he starts flat fast. It just hasn't happened in a while.
It's such a weird balance, though, with Klay because you're – you know, in his mind, he's probably sitting there thinking, like, you know, summon game six Klay and, like – just put Dallas out early because I come out and I hit 4 threes in the first quarter and boom, that's the kill shot. But in some ways, like, really aggressive Klay we've seen this year at times is not good for the Warriors. What if he comes out thinking he's game six Klay and he goes 1 for 8 in the first quarter? Like, it's a balance where, like, how aggressive do you really want him to be?
Yeah, I do think that's where they got to get him going instead of, all right, we're going to run a set and we're not going to get Klay a three. I mean, they put him on the post against Brunson. You shoot over that guy, like get him to a mid range, get him some action where he can develop a rhythm. I mean, we seen Steph going to the hole, right? Like, you got to do more of that with him. And like, there was a stretch where they lost the game, basically that stretch with the two rookies, and you know, like, Klay didn't get a shot. He didn't get a shot. They were driving and kind of messing up. Like, in that situation, it's like, run some stuff to get Klay to some spots. I do think they just have to have a little bit more control over the shots Klay take, because he gets frustrated and it's not going in, and then it's kind of a spiral at that point. So if they can manufacture some good looks for him with some shots, I do think that'll make a difference.
Is there anything else from this game?
Man, I'm going home, man. I'm tired.
I wrote about Steve Kerr, by the way, but I
got to get Tim Kawakami wrote about Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr's pregame press conference, I believe. So you have probably seen that online. So go check that out if you would like, or, you know, and or read Tim's column on it. And we will talk to you from game 5 Thursday night in San Francisco.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.